All right. I'm working with no doc, no intro, and so I'm just going to freestyle this the best I can.
Do it. I believe in you.
Moises, give me a beat. Yo, check it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yo, it's the Spider-Man spoiler cast, and we about to rap. It's blessing, and you know Moises did that. Hit that beat. You know we don't defeat like Kingpin in the beginning of the game. It's your boy. Ain't the same like Spider-Man. Ayy, killing everything. Yo, you know this ain't a game. Killing everything. Like all those thugs that I threw off the roof and forgot to weapon up. Yeah. All right, we're done. We're done. We're done.
I've ever been a part of in my entire fucking life.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to this very special bonus episode of the OKB's podcast. This right here is not a numbered episode. This is your Spider-Man for PS4 spoiler cast. I believe the official name of the game is Marvel Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I had no
Spider-Man
idea.
PS4.
You know, it was frustrating because I was looking for it on PS4 as I download everything, and I was like, where the fuck is Spider-Man? And then, like,
it was under the M's.
Marvel's Spider-Man. And, like, I was literally looking in vain for 15 minutes before I found
Can we please Photoshop your face with J. Jonah Jameson's mustache? Where the fuck is Spider-Man?
Oh my God.
Where is Spider-Man?
Those voices you're hearing, we of course got the voice of Ian Preschel. What's up, Ian?
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty decent. We also got Moises Haveris. What's good, Moises?
Hi there. What's up?
Thwip, indeed. We also got a very special guest, the homie, the former U.S. Marine, the whiskey-loving, the horror and fitness jamming. I'm straight up just reading your Twitter profile.
I thought you said horror and fitness. So I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, horror and fit. No, horror is your jam, right?
Horror is your jam.
Okay. I heard horror too. I was like, wait a minute.
Those words are very hard to like distinguish at times. Of course, we got John Phipps, aka at Mr. Megative, if you follow him on Twitter. What's good, John?
You probably don't follow me on Twitter if you're listening to this.
You should follow him on Twitter, though.
You should follow
Everyone follow John on Twitter immediately.
Actually, you got my name wrong. My name is actually J. Jonah Jameson, retired editor of the Daily Bugle. And I'm here to combat all the lies and propaganda that I've heard about one wall-crawling, arachnid, web-slinging bastard, that's Spider-Man!
That's not bad. That's a good one.
That was definitely a good one.
I like that.
That was pretty good.
That really hurt my throat for some reason.
How does it feel to be one of the main antagonists of the Spider-Man game?
Well, that's just what the fake news media is trying to tell you. I am the soul of New York itself, and I am here to tell you that the soul of our city is being drawn out by this no-good, masked webhead swinging between buildings, inviting crime into our city, and it is time, my fellow New Yorkers, to bring him down for good.
Man, Alex Jones
is really passionate about
Spider-Man. So, if you didn't realize, this, of course, is a spoiler cast, and so we're going to talk about spoilers, we're going to talk about things that happen late in the game, we're going to talk about all that good stuff, and so if you haven't played Spider-Man, or you just don't care about spoilers, skip over this episode, or come back to it, or, you know, you can just let it play, like, if you really want to know, if you want to give us the view, you want to do all that good stuff, just let it play.
I'm going to DM this episode to people I hate.
Do it.
That's a good strategy for all of OKB's content, is just send it to people you hate.
Just be like, oh yeah, this is a Persona 5 review.
Any alt-right trolls out there, this is they're getting this in their DMs if their DMs are open.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Let's start with at the very base. How do you guys feel about Spider-Man PS4? Having beat it.
Game of the Year material.
Game of the Year material, says John.
Definitely up there for me, for sure.
Moises Haveris.
It's
Of course, that's what you say. What are your issues with Spider-Man PS4, Moises?
I think there's the last third. Felt weird.
I'm fascinated. That this is where you went to first, because I had the same kind of critique.
Yeah, premise alone, like the setup is like similarly exciting and also like a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the way that they then use that premise to like structure out the significant like plot beats, the the like the shit that you have to hit, it makes it so that it felt less compelling in the moment, and like the way that the world sort of changes in that last third makes it less fun to do what you had been doing up till that point. At least in terms of like traversal.
So that's one of my that's the problem I usually have in a lot of games. Like that was one of my problems that I had in Horizon Zero Dawn, is that like I'll just be like I'll be trying to go from place to place and I just be getting attacked by random things in the environment. And in that last third of Spider-Man, as soon as they introduced like, yo, thugs are everywhere, I was like, first of all, why are there this many prisoners in New York? Like was this prison really that big? Was it really that full? But then also, like, I was kind of bummed that, like, you got shot wherever you swung. And I was like, okay, I'm going to beat the game as soon as possible.
Our penal system is actually severely overpopulated. So, to me, that's pretty accurate, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The raft would be just overflowing with prisoners. I don't know. You know, I felt that the story as it began was predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, you know, as soon as you know, and this reveal comes out super early, when Peter when you find out Peter is working for Otto Octavius, I was like, oh well, here we go, you know. Yeah. I was like, I wonder how this tale is gonna end. But there were some story beats at the end that really took me by surprise. Now, I'm a long time Spider-Man reader. Like, I've read Marvel comics my entire life, and I read Spider-Man every month, have for god what, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the better Spider-Man stories I've come across. And I think it works to the game's advantage that it doesn't hew to the movies or comics. It just kind of does its own thing. And I really love the fact that it's kind of elevating villains that we, like, you know, like the general public who, you know, may not be familiar with, you know, like my wife, who's like, she's like, who the hell is Mr. Negative? Like, you know, I've been reading comics my whole life. Mr. Negative is a villain that was introduced after the start of Brand New Day. In 2008, he's been around for 10 years, but he's not really well known. Well, not anymore. Like, now everybody knows who Mr. Negative is.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, in my head, the perception, I'm also a Spider-Man fan too, but I don't really read the comics. I'm more of like the animated series kind of guy. And when I saw Mr. Negative, in my head, I was like, oh, wow, like what a great inclusion into this universe. Not only as a character with mixed motivations, but also a character who isn't just the normal, like, either really rich, white, smart dude, which is the majority of the ones that are super popular in the animated series. But then to hear from you now that he is actually from the comic books from a long time ago, that's awesome. I'm really glad.
He's actually a middle-tier villain in the comic books now.
Yeah.
And I expect that his profile is going to... I mean, because this game is selling incredibly well. I imagine his profile will get raised now. And he had he had one of the most compelling story arcs in the whole game.
No, that's the thing that kind of surprised me, because like, I'm also like, Spider-Man's my favorite superhero, right? But I also don't read comics. Like, Spider-Man, I have a weird kind of lineage with Spider-Man, because my whole fandom of him comes from the video games and the movies. And like, I barely even watched the cartoon. Like, I watched some episodes when it was on, but like, usually I'd watch the movie or I'd play the games. And so from there, like, Mr. Negative was completely new to me, and I knew he was kind of like more mid tier, because it's like nobody really talked about Mr. Negative, even the people I knew who did read the comics.
Yeah.
But then like jumping into the game, I was like, man, I can't wait to see how they elevate the real villain in this game, because I knew that like Mr. Negative was in the marketing, all that stuff. Then to see him actually be the main arc, and like have him go through the growth that he went through from like the beginning of the game through the second act and all that stuff. I was like, yo, this is compelling. Like,
he's
this is
the
really
main
good.
He's the main antagonist for the majority of the game. I mean, Otto doesn't become Dr. Octopus until the very end.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, it's like that feeling I had when The Amazing Spider-Man came out with Andrew Garfield. And say what you want about those movies, but he was a great Spider-Man. And then when you hear that the lizard is gonna be the villain, you're like, oh, can he really carry a movie by himself? But he did. And you think the same thing about Mr. Negative. Like, aside from Shocker, he's the only major villain in the game for two-thirds of the game. Rhino and Electro and Scorpion and Vulture, they don't come in until the end. So for the majority of the game, it's this mid-tier villain, Mr. Negative. And you're thinking to yourself, how well is this going to go? But incredibly well, as it turns
like,
out. Because
they made him scary. Like, the end of Act 1.
And he was very visually compelling, too. His boss fights were awesome.
No, like, the end of Act 1... where they did the whole like terrorist attack thing during the campaign thing, like that for me was a very pivotal moment, because up till then I was like, oh yeah, this game is pretty fun, like it's pretty laid back, it's pretty upbeat, like it's what I kind of expect from a Marvel product. And then there, they added this level of, they added a serious tone that I wasn't really expecting, especially to see Miles's dad die. The character that I was like, oh yeah, this guy's awesome. I knew where it was going when he like mentioned like his son and all that stuff. To see him die, I was like, oh, like dang, I didn't.
So what'll be interesting about Miles is that clearly they're going with the Ultimate Comics version of Miles, Miles Morales, because his father's name is Jefferson. Of course, in the Ultimate line of the comics, Jefferson's brother is Aaron, who is the Prowler. Aaron Davis was played by Danny Glover. Not Danny Glover. Jesus, what the hell is wrong with me?
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. Jesus Christ. He was played by Donald Glover in Spider-Man Homecoming. So it makes me wonder if we'll see maybe a kind of a morally gray character like the Prowler pop up in the sequel. And Miles is another good example of taking a character that is kind of like a mid-tier character and helping to elevate him. And this is actually, I mean, this is a great year for Miles Morales fans, because not only are we getting a lot of exposure from Miles in Spider-Man on PS4, but he's starring in his own movie, Enter the Spider-Verse, coming out this winter.
Yeah.
Same as Gwen, too. Gwen's going to be in that one, too.
Yep, Spider-Gwen. I would love to see Miles' profile raised in the same way that Mr. Negative's was. Like, give us a playable Miles Morales in the sequel.
I think that's the exciting thing about the Marvel movies, the game, and the Into the Spideyverse movie. Like, it seems that, like, for the last however many years, 18 years, we've gotten Peter Parker over and over again, which I love, because, like, Peter Parker is a character that I have a connection with, and there's a reason why I love Peter Parker's Spider-Man and all this stuff. But it's nice to see that you could see the seeds being planted for Miles Morales to kind of take the mantle.
I think in a sequel, I don't think Miles will be the sole star of the game. I think you'll get playable Peter and playable Miles. I think you'll probably be able to switch off between the two, or there will be sections where you play as Miles and then you play as Peter and you switch back and forth. But you know what, because there's clearly, the whole, and we'll, I guess we'll get into this later, but the whole Harry Osborn arc that you find out about.
Yeah.
After the story,
clearly a continuing story arc for Peter.
No, I could see, like, part of me was and that's a good point, that like part of me was thinking that towards the end of the game, this game, I was like, yo, is Peter going to die? And Miles Morales, like, they do a Red Dead Redemption thing of like after the ending, you play as Miles Morales, something like that. Which they couldn't do, obviously, because, like, the Harry Osborn stuff, and they had to set that up for the sequel. But I could see, like, at the end of 2 or something like that, like, something happens to Peter, right? Because I feel like they've made this world where there are high stakes, and people actually die. And, like, people are, like, with Aunt May dying at the end of that, the end of the game. That blew my mind.
I have so many thoughts about that.
I legit was crying in my room, like, watching that.
That blew my mind.
And I was not expecting to, like, actually, like, shed tears while playing this game.
So to jump off of that for a second, the whole Aunt May thing, I think I really want John's opinion about this. Is, to me, the character of Spider-Man is being presented as a hero with two options: the thing you want to do and the thing you have to do, and then reluctantly being like, oh man, I go have to do that thing. So you can't go on a date with Gwen or MJ, or you can't go to whatever social event you want to do. You have to go save the world or save New York, because that's what you are obligated to do, right? And I think that the Aunt May scenario, the Aunt May storyline, is like directly connected to this like core tenet of who Spider-Man is the thing that he wants to do, he can't do because of his obligation and his like moral compass. Would you say that that's accurate, John, or?
So it's interesting you say that, right? Like, there was a moment at the end of the game when his hand has the serum and he's hovering over Aunt May's IV, and he know what he had, and I could almost hear Uncle Ben saying, with great power comes great responsibility. And you can see that conflict in Peter's face. Facial animation in this game is wild,
dude. It's awesome.
It's great, and you can see that. And I thought that was a quintessential Peter Parker moment, when he's thinking to himself, when will I ever get what I want? You know, how long can this go on? You know,
like, that's him and MJ too, like, kind of a similar thing.
Well, they hint that that's why they broke up, right? They hint that they broke up because he's Spider-Man and he's always going to be Spider-Man. But I thought that, so I was not expecting them to kill off Aunt May. That one completely threw me for a loop. And I know that characters, you know, it's the Marvel Universe. Characters don't stay dead, but I don't see them bringing her back. And I hope they don't, because it would lessen her. It would lessen her death. But I felt like that was the moment where that was kind of the anchor for the entire story. Right? Is you've got the story of Peter Parker, who's just a classically selfless character, who. You know, I mean, and you see this throughout the game, right? I mean, he could be, you know, Otto Octavius says it multiple times. He could be working at any lab he wants, but he's making pennies, and he doesn't care because he just wants to change the world. He just wants to help people. He's sacrificing his monetary well-being because he truly believes in what Otto Octavius is doing. And it's that same choice. It's that same sacrifice he makes at the end when he chooses to sacrifice Aunt May, because that's what he's doing. He's sacrificing her. So for the greater good, and that is kind of the crux of what makes Spider-Man Spider-Man. I thought that was beautifully executed.
Yeah, and I think that that's the big thing for me, at least personally, why I connect so much with Spider-Man, and I guess Bless, you can chime in too with this, is that like it is the moral quandary, right? Like when I think of superheroes, I think of Batman, I think of Superman, right? And in my head, Batman wouldn't hesitate, Superman wouldn't hesitate, because these people are put on these crazy high pedestals. But yeah. I think the reason why I connect with Spider-Man so much is that like he's sitting there and he knows that he has to do something, but he's, like you said, he's waiting for his moment. Like, when can I just have a good life where I can be happy and satisfied and the people around me are safe, not because of the things that I do, right? And I feel like that is why so many people connect with Peter, is because it's difficult. And I think that he acknowledges as the character how difficult it is and how much struggle he goes through to do these crazy big decisions that put his own livelihood and his people that he cares about in front of the entire city of New York.
Well, and yeah. I'm sorry, Blessing. Go ahead, man, please.
I was going to say, like, I feel like this Spider-Man, this Peter Parker, I liked. My only issue with, like, his character was that he felt almost too idealized. Like, he had very few flaws. Like, his main flaw was that, like, he couldn't balance life and Spider-Man. Which, like, it makes sense, because that is kind of that, like you're saying, Ian, that is like the Spider-Man story. But man, like, as a person, as like a personality, I felt like he was almost too perfect, in the sense that like he had that moment with Aunt May where he was like, all right, I gotta save Aunt May, but then like he did come to the terms of like, yo, okay, I really do have to, you know, sacrifice this. But I mean, aside from that though, like, yeah, Peter Parker is that character that people connect to for that reason, because sometimes he does struggle. And even like, even aside from that, he's relatable because of his personality. Like one of the things I like the most about the game were all the quips, while swinging, while fighting crime, while doing all these things. Like the whole Spider-Cop bit was awesome to me. Like, I loved it so much. And like, it was corny humor, but it was humor that I was like, yo, I would make some of these same jokes if I was Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. So would I. No, I do that with my wife all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, he would definitely make a corny ass joke.
Yeah, no. But yeah, that was one of the things I liked the most.
But don't you think that introducing time into the character, like, again, this is 8 years into Spider-Man being Spider-Man. So like, he's already lost Uncle Ben. He's probably lost so many friends, and like, or not lost as in dead, but like, he's probably like been separated from so many people. Aunt May has been through so many struggles, and now she has this new job. Things are on the upswing, no pun intended. Like, don't you think that the introduction of time kind of allows him to be more comfortable in who he is and like be willing to make those sacrifices more readily than when he was like 18, when he first got the powers? Doesn't that make more sense? You know?
I mean, I think so, but I think it was also like things in terms of his relationships with other people. Like Peter Parker in this game is a dude who's like, man, I'm going to work at the shelter and I'm going to, he's like all around this great dude, which I guess makes sense since he's a superhero, but also like, and I guess he did have the struggles of like not being able to pay his rent, and then also like having those relationship issues with MJ and all these things.
I mean, he also has the relationship issues with Felicia Hart. Black Cat Felicia Hardy.
Yeah.
If you listen to the J. Jonah Jameson podcast stuff after I think you finished the Black Cat missions, he's like, oh man, Spider-Man got tricked again by Black Cat. We all thought that he was going to have a sidekick, but then, you know, and he like goes on this diatribe about how throughout his past, Black Cat was once his like number two.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay, so you didn't hear that. Oh,
so
yeah. Okay, so
my game actually glitched because like right when I was doing the Black Cat stuff and I was like kind of finishing that up, my game did like a weird glitch where any sort of audio recording or audio file that would pop up, so like the podcast or like Yuri communicating with me, all that stuff, like, it would take like seconds to load, like 15 seconds to load a file, and with each line it'll be another 15 seconds, and so I had to like restart, and I think I missed that line because of it.
Interesting.
Can I just point out how awesome it is that they basically made J. Jonah Jameson like an Alex Jones type character?
No, yeah, it worked perfectly.
That was hilarious.
I was so ready for him to be like, "And the spiders turn our kids gay," or something.
Yeah,
like,
no, one of those, yeah,
like ridiculous
like,
Alex Jonesian.
Yeah, I was waiting for J. Jonah Jameson to just like lose his mind and rip his shirt off, and you know, like hear him. You can hear him tearing his shirt off in the studio, and you know, and he's like,
"No,
you're an intellectual
like,
dumbass, and I'm coming."
There were parts like, that were almost like that. Like there was one part where like J. Jonah Jameson was like. At the point of like yelling and going crazy, and was at the end of his rant, he was like, "I gotta get my intern. My intern is telling me that it's time to take my pills." And, like, and it ends. Like there were some super awesome moments.
That's great.
And that felt like that was also like a reference, I think, to Spider-Man 3 and him the whole
taking
buzzer
his pills.
Scene.
Yeah, the buzzer in the desk. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Are y'all sad you didn't actually physically see him throughout the game?
I'm sure you'll see him in the next game.
No, I know, but I'm saying, wouldn't it be hilarious if you could do one of those missions where you take the photos of the buildings and you just see some like dude with a mustache like running around
Spider-Man!
Something. You're like, oh, there he is again. Look at J. Jonah. Oh, hey, buddy. Hi. And he's like waved to him.
Dude, how many did you guys do a lot of the side missions?
I did all of them.
So I'm in the process of doing all of them. The side missions are actually like surprisingly really good. Like, mm-hmm. I was actually blown away by how good some of these side missions are.
Some of the best fights in the game were against Taskmaster in those challenge missions.
Dude, the Taskmaster stuff took me, like, legit surprised me. Like, I finished
swinging through
challenges.
The city after doing a few of those, and all of a sudden Taskmaster tackles you out of the air.
Yeah, and then this dude comes with, like, a lightsaber, like a freaking No More Heroes
like
blade.
And he's hard. Dude, he's tough.
He's definitely, like, the Man-Bat of this game, if you remember the Arkham Asylum games.
Yep.
Like, definitely scares the shit out of you as you're, like, just doing your thing.
Yeah, he's like, he feels like this weird anime villain in the middle of the Spider-Man game.
Dude,
like,
they made Tombstone a cool character, too, actually. Like,
so I haven't gotten Tombstone yet.
The most interesting side mission and character was Tombstone, by far. Like, I loved that whole series of events. Take out Rhino, put in Tombstone.
I can't wait, because, like, I still haven't gotten there, and I know he's in there from the trophies. And I was like, legit, when I read the trophy, I was like, encounter Tombstone, defeat Tombstone. I was like, wait a second, I finished.
They're talking
game.
About Tombstone Pizza, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a back alley gang war between Tombstone and DiGiorno's.
There was an interesting pizza bit in the game where you're like, you're looking for the garbage, garbage trucks or whatever.
That is such a New Yorker like thing. So like, maybe this is just my brain imagining it, but like, I feel like New York. As harsh as it is and how cold people can be, there are these few moments where like people really do reach out and help each other. And I feel like that moment where he's calling the dump truck guy and he like uses his powers to go to the back of the garbage can and push it all the way back to read the number to try and find his stuff. Like I've definitely been in situations where I like dropped my phone or lost my phone and some random person like ran up to me and was like, oh wait, I think you dropped your phone like a block away. Like, let me go help you get it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of what they were trying to do with that scene is that it can be kind of cold and lonely in New York with so many people, but sometimes people reach out and really help out.
That was one of my favorite things that the game did was I felt like New York was its own character. Like I felt like New York had its own voice and had its own personality. And then Spider-Man also was in this game. I feel like Spider-Man was the most friendly neighborhood Spider-Man than I'd seen him before. Like he's very much that dude of like there was that the garbage truck stuff where like he's on the phone with the guy the whole mission is like, yo, I can't find my USB, and he's like going through the neighborhoods trying to find it. And there was also like the whole thing with the whole relationship with Yuri, and there was the environmental missions where like you're not just beating dudes up in this game, you're also like helping the water be clean and cleaning up the air and making sure pipes aren't bursting and doing all these different things. Like there are even the collectibles, right? The backpacks and stuff where I think one of the first backpacks I got had the coloring of Spider-Man having just saved this kid's balloon. And
I found the Sandman.
Really?
He's in a vial.
Oh, yeah, I found that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's literally in a vial. He's like, I wonder what happens if I open this. Will the Sandman like just pop out? Like,
which is
kind of
messed up.
Sandman in a vial.
Like, that's slightly messed up.
Speaking of, actually, I want to ask you guys a question. Speaking of villains, what did you think of all those Green Goblin call-outs? All those hints.
Okay,
to the because and especially like they. they drive it all home at the end, like when he's walking into that room where Harry is and he's watching that green light, I was like, oh, here we go. Like, there
so
is the goblin. So, like, did you catch his mask, his prototype mask sitting on the table?
Yes, yes, I did. So the one that made me freak out was when you're playing as MJ before you get to that scene, you're in the Grand Central Station and you're looking and you're like, oh, look at all these Osborne prototypes they have as like an exhibit. So I walk into the middle of this prototype thing and I turn invisible and I was like, oh, okay.
That's cool. That was awesome.
And then I turn my head to the left and I see this new prototypical glider that will administer like airborne medicine to people in need. And I was like, oh my.
Dude, did you catch the pumpkin bombs? Awesome. Did you catch the bombs? The pumpkin bombs?
So I think I did. Were they on his desk in the lab?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Dude.
So, yeah, oh my God. Yeah. So crazy.
So, like you said earlier, that this game was a bit predictable with like the Doc Ock stuff. And like that was actually one thing where once you got pretty far in the game and he didn't turn into Doc Ock, I was like, man, maybe he's not going to turn into Doc Ock. Maybe he's like just going to be Dr. Octavius, because like I didn't see them planting seeds for Norman to become Green Goblin in this game. So I was like, maybe they're playing the long game and it's not going to be until game two. And so that's one of the things I was surprised of, that like Norman didn't actually become Green Goblin.
Well, I mean, they had the Sinister Six in this game. Like, that was surprised me the most, I think.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Dr. Octopus was the original leader of the Sinister Six, who was not Green Goblin. Here's another one. I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but when you put that helmet on and as MJ and you're looking at the wall, up in the corner of that kind of, like, you know, that heads-up display on the helmet, they talk about, like, experimental battle suit tech. And I'm like, oh, here. So we got the helmet. We got the bombs, we got the glider, like that. And if you look at the helmet itself, I mean, it's got like just looks like a big open goblin mouth. Did you catch it? Yeah, like I was like, oh, this is clearly what he's going to be using as the goblin. And then at the end, when he walks into that hidden lab and Harry's floating in the black goo.
Okay,
is that the symbiote? Is that what's going on?
Made me shit my pants.
It seems like the symbiote.
I was freaking out, dude. Like, so that entire sequence, by the way, so to rewind just a little bit about that. So were you guys, like, how do you guys feel when you were as MJ walking throughout the mansion and you're like, oh man, like, wait a minute, Harry's dead?
No,
like, that like hit me in a way that I never thought it was going to.
So
reading the notebook about like, oh, you know, hey guys, if it's MJ or Pete reading this, I'm sorry I didn't tell you guys, but I didn't want you guys to worry. You know, I wasn't flunking out of class and I wasn't drinking all day. I was sick. ... No, I was really sick. And I saw that and I was like, wait, he never got to say goodbye. His dad never gave the journal. Yeah. Like, everyone thinks that Harry is fucking off somewhere in fucking Barcelona, like on a fucking sabbatical, and like his friend is just gone. Like that hit me harder than literally every moment in this game.
This game has so many great moments, and like, that was one of the things where for a lot of the MJ Miles Morales missions, I was pretty over it. Like, I was like, man, I don't want to do another one of these stealth missions. That one, like, where you're going through the mansion, and the one
with the stun gun.
Yeah, with the stun gun, and the other one where you're commanding Spider-Man and being like, okay, take out this guy, and this guy. Those are the two ones where I was like,
I thought Miles hiding from Rhino was pretty dope, too.
That one was also good. Yeah.
So, but here's what I think they're doing. Like, so I had a conversation about this with a friend of mine, and he says, man, I can't believe they're going to turn Harry into Venom. And I'm like, they're not.
No.
And he's like, well, no, it's clearly. I was like, no. They're playing. It's a con. Here's what's going to happen. And I've been thinking about this, and this is what I honestly got to think is going to happen in the sequel, right? I think, just like in the Ultimate line of comics, the symbiote was not an alien. It was experimental. It was a biomedical thing assumed meant to heal you in the Ultimate line of comics. I do not think that Harry's going to be Venom. I think the suit will probably cure him. I think it will get attached to Peter. He'll become the black-suited Spider-Man. I think he will become corrupted. I think you will control Miles, and you're gonna have to battle Peter. And then Peter's gonna realize what's happening. He's gonna rip the thing off, and it's gonna attach itself to Eddie Brock. And in Spider-Man 3,
who gets a name drop in this game?
He does.
Wait, does
Eddie
he
Brock
where
gets a name drop on a card?
Interesting.
His name.
The Daily Bugle goodbye card.
Yep. And I think that I think the main villain in Spider-Man 2 is going to be the Green Goblin. Clearly, it's going to be the Goblin. And in 3, it's going to be Venom. That's what I think is going to happen. Imagine swinging around as Miles battling a corrupted Peter Parker.
So yeah, so that's the exact same thought that I had, that like the midway point, or like the fallen, like not denouement, but the opposite, like the low point first, the next game is going to be Spider-Man, the Spider-Man that we know and love changing and like being corrupted, very similar to the same way that Otto Octavius was in this game. Slowly over time, he'll get corrupted and more mean and like maybe more lethal. And then that's when Miles will kind of come in.
In the next game, you're kidding yourself.
He definitely is. But John, how did you feel about seeing Harry in that thing? Because you're way more into the comics and to the character than we are. So I can only imagine how you felt during the lead up to that moment, like thinking Harry is dead and like, you know, how they did that character. Like, how are you feeling during that moment?
So, you know, like, you know, a bunch of people were like, oh, this is heresy. This isn't Harry Osborn's character arc from the comics. But, you know, my counterpoint is, you know, this isn't tied to the comics. Like, this is its own universe. This is its own story. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peter Parker's 23 years old, and the Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus don't even exist yet. Mm-hmm.
The hell has he been fighting, by the way, if not these dudes?
Kingpin.
Kingpin was just Kingpin.
Yeah, okay, he mentioned that Kingpin has been, like, his... Because if you go to the character profiles and you look at Kingpin, like, you'll get a voiceover from Peter Parker, and he's like, Wilson Fisk. First bad guy I ever fought. I mean, he's like, you know, really, this is how I got my start. You know, like, this has been my mortal enemy. So Kingpin was the stand-in for Norman Osborn until now.
Interesting.
I like it. I'm going to be really interested to see where it goes in Spider-Man 2. You know, clearly there's a big story arc coming that involves Harry and the symbiote. Again, I don't think that Harry's going to become Venom. I think that's too obvious. I think with what we were shown in the game and that post-credit sequence, I think that's way too on the nose. Mm-hmm. I think Peter is going to become, is going to bond with that symbiote. And I think you're going to have to fight him off as Miles. I think Harry's role in the game will be as a non-powered individual. I don't think he's going to get powers in the next game.
No Hobgoblin?
No, I don't think we're going to get a Hobgoblin. I think they are
Harry
very
seems,
clearly. They
Harry
are very
seems
clearly.
Like too good of a dude in this first Spider-Man game. Like
he does.
In this interpretation, I completely agree.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
He's a saint. Yeah. Like he literally went off to die and didn't have the heart to tell his best friends because he didn't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah, and he's also like set up stations all around the city to help the environment.
Yeah. Something is going to happen with Norman where that cure is taken from him. That symbiote cure is taken, and he's going to adopt the mantle of the Goblin in order to get it back, and you're going to have to fight him.
So I have a comic question for you, John. Okay. Isn't this this Norman Osborn based off of the, I forget what version of it, but there's definitely one where he's like the Iron Patriot or something like that, where he's wearing an Iron Man suit.
So that's the 616 version. That's the mainstream Marvel version. He did become the Iron Patriot for a while. He was the head. He was actually the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And, whoa, I didn't know that.
And the head of the Thunderbolts, which was basically
Damn.
A government-led team of supervillains. With Matt Gargan, who was Venom at the time. He was the new Dark Spider-Man. Dokken, who was Wolverine's son. Basically, you know, the Dark Avengers. Obviously, I don't think they're going to go the Iron Patriot route, but clearly this Green Goblin is going to be rooted, he's going to be technology-based. Which is that's what he does in the comic book. It's not like he takes, I'm sure he'll take some kind of a formula to grow strong, but he's not going to mutate into a goblin or anything. He's going to wear a technical suit.
And all the villains in this interpretation seem to be like powered by technology.
I think even Tombstone.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They say that he's like, oh, he can't die because some sort of like aerosol spray that he inhales that is some sort of like radioactive isotope or something.
I can't wait to encounter him.
I think in the next game, I think the smart play on villains to appear, I think you're probably looking at Mysterio.
I think you're looking at Mysterio, Lizard,
Kraven, Chameleon.
Dude, Goblin. If we were to get Mysterio and Kraven, I'm satisfied.
Imagine what they could do with Mysterio, like an Arkham Asylum style scarecrow sequence where like he's all hopped up on illusions and gas and all kinds of crazy shit is happening. Like the possibilities for Mysterio.
I can even see Mysterio being like a replacement for Taskmaster and him like you doing like different kind of tasks for Mysterio and him like trying to like play with you in that way.
I don't know. I think Mysterio is going to be like a big
main one.
Yeah.
Oh, like, big one. Oh, I thought he was going to be like a Black Cat situation where like, you get to these like rooms where you have to escape.
Imagine you're hopped up on Mysterio's gas, and all of a sudden this huge flaming demonic Mysterio rises over New York, and you got to battle him. You know,
kind of like the Scorpion sequences. And
exactly. Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, only on a much grander scale. Like, or if you remember the Ra's al Ghul fight in Batman Arkham City, I think it could be similar to that. You know.
Yeah.
And imagine what kind of a boss fight Kraven would be like. You know, like you're swinging through New York and somebody's trying to hunt you with sniper rifles. You know, like it was, I mean, the possibilities are, but yeah. And are the lizard, a Sandman, I think Sandman will probably feature into the next game.
So here's my other question is, do you think that the characters that they mentioned in the backpacks, do you think that that's almost like a, hey, wink, wink, these dudes are going to show up
almost
next?
Certainly.
Because they do definitely mention the Sandman. They mention the Lizard.
Mysterio.
They mention Mysterio. They mentioned some heroes in there, like Daredevil and, who else? They mentioned Danny Rand is in the game
I would love to see an appearance from some other Marvel heroes, like Daredevil or fucking Moon Knight. Like, Moon Knight would be amazing.
Oh, my God.
Give me some Moon Warren Spector. You know, give me some Mark Spector. I almost said Warren Spector. Give me some Mark Spector. You know, like, or even, like, lesser-known characters like Cardiac. I saw the Heart Center in New York, so, or like Doctor Strange, you know, like I mean
yeah, they have all the Marvel references that they could fit in this thing.
They really do. Yeah
and right. Like I think some of them are just for like, hey, we're gonna have fun with this, but some of them, like I was listening to an interview with I think the creative director, and he was saying that like the Black Spider-Man suit isn't a playable suit in this game for a reason. Like, they know what they're doing. They're planning ahead. They know exactly what they're putting in this game for what reason and what they're leaving out for whatever reason.
Well, also, Blessin, don't forget, we've got 3 DLC packs coming out.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We got, so we know one is the Black Cat. The other two, I have no idea.
I'm really excited to see.
I don't think anybody knows yet. Now, clearly, they're going to be, I think the smart play is on mid-tier villains, not your A-listers like Kraven or Lizard or Mysterio. You know what I think would be really cool is if you had one of those DLCs focus on the Chameleon. And trying to hunt down the Chameleon, looking for clues to try to track Chameleon down. Something really cool, something that falls outside of what you're used to in the main game. Just, you know, like, because let's face it, like, you know, the boss fights in Spider-Man are great. You know, like, they're a lot of fun. Rhino and Scorpion. I love that you fight two at the same time.
That was a smart choice.
It adds a sense of urgency to it. But at the same time, the boss fights are, you throw something at the boss and you hit triangle, you beat him up and you swing away and you throw, which is fine. I don't need them to be overly complex, but imagine a boss fight against Chameleon where it's not
a
boss fight at all. You got to find him and you have to use clues find him.
Mm-hmm. I would like that a lot.
You know, like, or a character like the Punisher, you're trying to stop a Punisher rampage in one of the DLCs, you know,
Punisher
like,
and Kraven
like,
teamed up.
Think outside of the box, or the Jackal, you know, like, you know, do the whole clone thing, you know, like think.
I mean, they reference the spider clones in the costumes.
Do. Or the spider slayers, like J. Jonah, like, you know, J. Jonah Jameson still hates Spider-Man. You could easily pull up Alistair Smythe and do the spider slayers. You know, I'm really hoping that Insomniac thinks outside of the box on these DLCs, because I mean, just like the Kraven, or not Kraven, the Chameleon idea alone is, I would love something like that.
So I got to transition to questions, because we got a lot of questions, but before I do, John, I want you to plug your stuff so I know for a fact I don't forget at the end of this. Who are you? What do you do? Explain.
So my name is John Phipps, and I run a small, little known podcast called Super Deformed Gamescast. You can find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/officialSDGC, and we go live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. I got to get you guys on at some point. We've had a lot of guests on, people have probably heard of. We like to have friends, we like to have guests on. I am also a TakeThis.org streaming ambassador, and I do a lot of volunteer work for Take This, which of course advocates for mental health awareness in the gaming community. Because it's okay to not be okay, and there's nothing wrong with mental illness. There's a stigma about mental illness, not just in the gaming community, but in society in general. We aim to break that stigma. So I do that as well. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Negative with an M. Clever play on words there. You can also find me in San Francisco on November 15th hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily with Greg Miller.
Nice. Hey, excited for that one.
Awesome. And I should have mentioned this like way
super
earlier.
Super nervous about that one.
Yeah, I mean, don't I understand, be nervous. But dude, you're gonna kill it. Like, you're killing it here, so I have total faith that you're gonna kill it there.
Please wear the same hat from the meme, please.
Oh, I know that's absolutely gonna happen. Yeah, no. In fact, I'm actually, my plan, I'm not bullshitting you. My plan is to have a T-shirt made with that meme Slide. On it, like this, the giant meme.
Oh my god!
On it, and I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna wear that on Kinda Funny.
No joke. I legit was like, I have an idea for you, and I was going to pitch that
exactly
idea.
That's exactly what I'm gonna do. Yeah.
So I should have mentioned this way earlier. Moises had to dip out because he has to take care of his son, and so that's why you have
all you Moises fans
out
there.
That's the best reason to have to dip out.
Yeah, just kidding. It's not his son, but
someone's son.
It's somebody's son. Looks like it could be his son. I'm pretty sure it's his younger cousin. But yeah, that's why you haven't heard his voice. He's not just being extremely quiet.
Very polite, letting everyone speak.
Yeah. And so I asked you guys to write in with your questions. I made a nice little Google form so that people don't get spoiled on the timeline. And I made the small mistake of forgetting to include a name section when I originally put up this form. Thankfully, I remembered. And so, like, we have a lot of questions with names on them. The first three questions don't have names on them. And so if you ask these questions that don't have names, I apologize. But shout out to you for being one of the first to submit. Thank you. So our first question is this from No Name. They say, hey, crew, was there ever a moment in the game where you felt like the game was slowed down? Personally, I think the story was perfectly paced and always gave me reason to keep playing. And this person also said their favorite part of the game was the end after Peter defeats Doc. That whole scene is enough to bring you to tears. The pain in Peter's voice is palatable and it cut me to my core, which I absolutely agree with. That ending mm-hmm. was something special. Like,
oh, and that fight on the side of the building with Doc Ock. Oh.
Yeah. As soon as he says, you knew, like, I felt that. Like, I felt that harder mm-hmm. than a Drake lyric.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, it's the delivery, too, right? It's like, you knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, of course, oh, idiot. God. I'm a genius. Yeah. Of course I fucking know.
Yeah, it's funny because Doc Ock is that kind of dude who, I feel like during the beginning portions of the game, he struck you as, like, a genius idiot. But then, like, later on, you're like, oh, no, he's a genius. Like,
he's, like, a scary one.
Yeah, he turns from, like, lovable to scary real quick. Real quick. But, yeah, how do you guys feel about this person's question in terms of the pacing of the game? Do you guys feel like it was paced well?
I think 95% of it was paced well. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked the Mary Jane stealth sections. I thought they were interesting, and it's interesting to play. I was not expecting to play as anybody but Peter Parker or Spider-Man, so it was a pleasant surprise. And I also liked that they kind of pushed back against the damsel in distress trope that we see so many times, and they established Mary Jane as a strong female character who can hold her own and, you know, who isn't afraid, who doesn't need to be rescued. Having said that, I can understand that why some people would see that those sections would kind of slow the pacing down a little bit. Having said that, for me, those sections always came after something really fast paced happened. So it was nice to kind of step back and slow things down a little bit and say, okay, well, it's time for something a little more intimate, a little more slow paced, a little more, a little deeper. Not everything has to be button-mashy combat. So I get the complaints, but at the same time, I didn't mind at all.
Yeah. For me, it was the thing of like, I didn't appreciate those sections until after they were over. Like after I finished each one, I was like, man, that was a really good story moment. But like while playing it, I was like, man, especially with the stealth ones, I think they might've all been stealth, but like the stealth gameplay of Mary Jane and Miles Morales. And I think Peter Parker wouldn't be stealth. He would just be walking around in the shelter. But for the stealth portions, I wasn't necessarily into the, hey, don't touch these boxes, don't knock them over, and, like, throw this to, like, get their attention.
Walking over the glass when you were stealthing was kind of frustrating. I was like, come on. Like, it's not that damn loud.
But I think those portions did do wonders for storytelling. I will give it that. Like, I think I ended up appreciating Mary Jane as a character more so than I ever have playing these games. Mm-hmm. Like, the funny thing is I went back and I watched Spider-Man 3 because I'm a madman. It just came on Netflix the beginning of September.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I've been watching...
Blessing does this all the time.
I do this all the time. I watch very bad shows and movies constantly, especially if they're superhero themed. And so I watch Arrow and I watched Flash and Spider-Man 3 I watched. And it was gloriously bad in a way that like it was enjoyable to watch, even though it was like clearly a bad film. And the thing I realized was that, like, yo, Mary Jane in the original Spider-Man trilogy was not good at all. Like, I think they tried, like, the actress was really given nothing to work with. I was going to say Gwyneth Paltrow, but I think that's Iron Man's girlfriend. I forget who.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst, that's who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, why am I thinking Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Stacy Paltrow.
Kirsten Dunst did what she could, what she got, but man, the writing on MJ was not good. But yeah, this MJ I felt was strong and was, like, relatable in a way that I feel like we don't get a lot of women characters that are that relatable. Like, I feel like she actually had good motivation and good, like, great personality and, like, had great she had a lot of great moments in the game, and so I appreciated what they did with her. But yeah, as far as pacing as a whole, I'd probably give it more of, like, I feel like 80 to 90% of it was paced well, and then, like, there were certain portions where I was like, okay, I could get through some of these parts quicker. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it. What about you, Ian?
I feel like, just to comment on the Mary Jane stuff for a second, I think they've done Lois Lane better than any Lois Lane has ever been. I feel like MJ is the new Lois Lane. She has agency. She's smart. She has a clear goal. Super intelligent. She's willing to do anything to get that goal done. And that's kind of like her biggest fault.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool to have, because usually you see these really obvious faults in, like, the superhero characters like Spider-Man, who his biggest fault is that he's that big choice, like I was talking about before. He always has to make the good choice, even if it hurts him personally or, like, kills the people he loves, right? So I thought that was super cool. The one thing that I didn't like about those scenes overall is the lack of, like, direct agency you had to, like, take people out off the board in terms of the stealth maps, right? Well, here's the thing. So, like, my favorite scene with MJ was in the Harry Osborn apartment. A, because you learn so much. You learn stuff that is super impactful. And it's cool to see the character kind of, like, take in this information and be like, well, I had no idea this was happening, but, like, I need to press on. Yeah. Like, it was a really good reflection of her character in the narrative that, like, she receives this news that one of her best friends is essentially dead. And instead of, like, breaking down and, like, having no idea what to do, she's like, no, I have to complete this goal. I need to get out of here, and I need to give this stuff to Peter, or else everything is messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that in that, she's stronger than in some parts than Peter.
I think it established Mary Jane just as heroic, if not more so, than Peter.
Oh, 100%.
Or at least just, like, as strong, you know?
Yeah. But the thing that I didn't like in terms of the gameplay part of it, like, the narrative play, like, interacting with the story and, like, that sort of stuff was top-notch. Like, one of my favorite games of all time. But in terms of the actual gameplay of it all, like, I really enjoyed the fact that she had the stun gun and could take these dudes out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that made more sense to me, right? Because if I'm Spider-Man and I have all this tech and I have all this stuff on me, right? Why wouldn't I just say, hey, Mary Jane, here's take this drone that I have, or hey, take this web thing, or like this tiny web bomb that has one use. If you get in trouble, throw that down and then run, get out of there, right? And I feel like that would have made way more sense to me from that perspective, as opposed to her just going in blind with, like, thugs with these crazy guns and who would easily kill her.
Yeah, I love their relationship so much in terms of, like, her, in terms of Peter being like, yo, don't put yourself in danger, like, I do it because I have superpowers, and MJ is like, yeah, but I'm my own person, I do what I want. Like, I like that whole back and forth. I feel like even that has been done before in Spider-Man properties, but, like, I feel like usually it's annoying. Like, I think that, well, right now I have Spider-Man 3 on the mind, and so, like, there was a scene in Spider-Man 3 where MJ is getting, like, extremely mad at Peter for being Spider-Man, and Peter is like, well, I mean, I'm Spider-Man, and it was very one-dimensional. Yeah, but, like, in this game, I didn't feel that one-dimensional aspect of it at all. Like, I feel like I could see both sides of the story pretty good. I kind of understand where both MJ and Peter were coming from.
Yeah,
yeah,
100%. But other than that, I think the pacing was really good. As someone with ADD, it's really hard to keep pace with the game, but I feel like there was so much going on in this game in a good way that I always had something to do and always was ready to do the next challenge and stuff like that, to the point where I thought this game was never going to fucking end. I was, like, sitting there like, who's the next villain I'm going to face? Oh, the Sinister Six are here? What's going on?
Our next question comes from a person who also, I don't have their name. I also, for the record, I asked them their question. I also asked what was your favorite part of the game. So each person is sharing their favorite part. But as far as the question, they asked, what technical aspect of the game impressed you the most? And they also said their favorite part was swinging through the streets of New York and actually feeling like Spider-Man, which I feel 100%. But what technical aspect of the game impressed you the most?
the facial aspect, like the way that the faces looked in motion.
Yeah, I think
it really broke that. It broke the Uncanny Valley for me, I think, in a way that was pretty intense in a good way.
I feel like this is the most basic answer I could give, but the swinging, they nailed it. Like, as somebody who's super into Spider-Man 2, and I feel like the swinging in that game is perfect and can't be matched, I feel like this game did a good job of like matching it and actually showing the ways that they can improve it. Like, the web zip is a thing that both the games have. So like when you press X to like kind of pull yourself forward, both the games have that, and I feel like they implemented it well in this game. But then like things that I did accidentally, like running up a building and then holding circle when I'm going to the roof. And like if you do that, you just do like a 90 degree angle and don't like flip up or anything. You just straight up like turn and you're on the roof still running. Small tweaks like that like give you a little bit more control and a little bit more options. That the trick system I like in this game, I almost wish they did more with it, because like I have so much fun doing the backflips and the front flips and the twirls and all that stuff. And every time I find myself like high in the air, I try to hit that like diagonal tucked roll.
Yeah.
Just because it's so satisfying to do. But yeah, the whole traversal system I think was done perfectly.
As far from a technical standpoint, I think the most impressive thing for me was the lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the way, especially like in the early evening, you'd be swinging, and this ties into the swinging, but you'd be swinging through New York and you catch that beam of sun between the buildings, and it gave it like a very cinematic, like it just, oh my god. And this, I just want to point out, this game has one of the best photo modes I've ever seen implemented in any game ever.
Mm.
And just like the lighting in the game, from Mr. Negative's powers to the sun breaking through breaking through a gap in the buildings. I just like, or even just like sitting on top of what is supposed to be One World Trade Center and looking at the blinking lights out across New York, like the lighting in the system, lighting in the game is just so immersive and really did a great job of making it feel alive. There were moments in the game that just felt alive to me. And that was because of the great lighting system that Insomniac implemented.
Agreed. Another no-name person asked, even though you knew the minute you saw Octavius where this was all going, how did you feel they dealt with the slow descent into the madness that he had? This person's favorite part of the game was also the final fight. They said it was epic, like the best comic book fight ever.
I thought it was great. I thought they handled it very well. It was very believable to me.
The Octavius descent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they hewed pretty close to Spider-Man 2, the movie too, in which like you know his the chip controlling the arms was basically controlling him. It was corrupting
mm-hmm.
him. But I also got mm-hmm. the sense that it brought out a darker side of Octavius that was always there. That angry, bitter side that wanted revenge. Because in Spider-Man 2, the movie, there was redemption for Dr. Octopus at the end, right? And mm-hmm. he's like, I will not die a monster. But in this, you very much get the idea when he's in the raft that he's like, I'm going to fucking kill Peter Parker. He's like, I'm going to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah. I kind of wish we got a little bit more of that before like he was being taken over. Because like I feel like once he had that descent into madness, it was a pretty hard drop. Yeah, it was a hard drop. And like I understand, like it made sense because like if this thing's controlling your mind and you're a dude with once... and you hate Norman Osborn, I understand like the A to B to C. I would have liked it if they were like, while he was still on the sane side, if you saw some of that. But he did have like parts where he was like, he was frustrated obviously because everything was being taken away from him. I think maybe I would have liked to see him struggling after everything was taken away from him, like see him like actually like hate Norman Osborn while sane. But all in all, like, I really liked it. I like that, they really painted him as, like, wow, I really don't know how to stop this guy. Like, this is the smartest guy I've ever faced. Like, even Yuri, when you're on the phone with her or whatever, like, she sounded scared. She was like, I've not seen anybody like this. Like, I think they did a great job, after his descent to be like, yeah, this dude is, you don't want to mess with him because he knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Yeah. Ian, did you have anything to say?
I mean... I think the thing that I really connected with in that character, and like, I think, yes, they did it very well, but I think the fact that like you kind of felt bad for him insofar as like, oh man, he's going to change forever, right? No matter what,
mm-hmm.
because of the disease that he has, he's going to change. So it was kind of up to him to either change in his own right with his own control, or to eventually let this disease take over him. And I think I connected with that narrative more than I have with any other villain narrative for the most part,
mm-hmm.
In a long time, because like taking control of your own life, whether positive or negative, I think is something that a lot of people can identify with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
This next one is from Sam. He says, was this Aunt May hotter than Marissa Tomei in Homecoming and why? And
Y-E-S.
Absolutely no.
No.
Like,
no,
Marissa Tomei.
Hard, no. That's a hard
Marissa
no.
Tomei is something special. But I will say, strong number two. Strong number two. Shout out to Aunt May, looking like a snack.
Jesus Christ.
Actually, that would be an interesting, like, rank all the Aunt Mays.
Next leaderboard episode.
The next leaderboard episode. His favorite part of the game was finding the landmarks and all the secret photos. The next one we have is from the homie, the hashtagonist. He says,
wout.
"Yeah, wout." He says, "How does the cast feel about the combat/thug missions? While I am highly enjoying Spider-Man, I found these missions specifically are incredibly overused. Having to play the exact same shootout with identical commentary feels so out of place in a highly polished game like this. Would love to hear your thoughts."
I didn't have a problem with it. You know, I understand that it's a game and you know, not everything's going to be perfect and there are going to be assets that are reused. It never really bothered me, but then again, you know, I can see how it would bug some people. I was having such a good time just enjoying the incredibly entertaining combat in the game itself, where like I was looking for excuses to get in fights because I was just like, I want to beat people up as Spider-Man. And so like it didn't really bother me. I would like to see, you know, in the sequel that we all know is coming, I would like to see a little more mission variety when it comes to side activities. But you know, I overall understand the complaint, but it's not really something that brought the experience down for me in any meaningful way.
Yeah, I feel like for me there was such a variety of things to do outside of just the crimes that I didn't feel it. Like, I'm still trying to 100% the game, so I might end up getting there. But yeah, in terms of the actual crime missions, I do feel like they could have added a little bit more variety there. But there's also, like, so many other things to do that it didn't pain me too much. And I liked how, like, when you're doing the hideout missions, I think each of the hideout missions, I think, have their own dialogue. It seems like... switches and stuff.
There's always a reason for it. He'll like contact MJ, be like, MJ, I found this place where, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, like, you know, making refrigerators, but in fact, you know, like they're packing weapons and drugs.
Yeah, and then he'd have like quips about like depending on what faction you're fighting, like within a face switch, he'd be like, oh, there's more of you. Did you guys not see what I did to the last guys? Like, he'll have like a funny quip. There was a funny one he had like about the demons. I forget exactly what it was, but essentially something like, hey, can you guys tell me where you guys get your mask? I'm trying to find a new one. Or like, can you guys tell me how to breathe? How do you guys deal with breathing in your mask? I'm having troubles sometimes.
Or like, hey, do you guys ever get confused about who's wearing which mask?
Yeah.
There's a lot of mask quips in this game, and I love them all.
I love them all too,
yeah. Hashtagness says his favorite part of the game was he highly enjoyed the base takedowns, which we were just talking about. A great combo of stealth and punchy dudes in the face. And I want to say, I really like the stealth in this game. I feel like there's an interesting split.
It didn't feel half-baked like I was afraid it might.
Yeah, like, for me, there was a moment playing yesterday where I was standing above, or I was on a, like a power line or whatever, above three people that were kind of congregated below me. And so, like, if I took out one of them, the other two would obviously see me. But I did a thing where I took the trip mine, casted the trip mine on one guy, he stuck to the other guy, and as soon as that happened, Perch take down the third guy. So satisfying.
Well, you know what was a really nice touch to me and helped save my life a lot of times in those base takedowns is that if you web somebody up completely and then you kick them into a wall, they'll just stick to the wall.
They'll stick to the wall.
Incapacitated for the rest of the fight. I thought that was such a cool little touch, you know, like, oh, it's just like the little details in the combat in this game just love.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you actually can't kill anybody. At first, I thought I was throwing people to their deaths, but no, he's attaching devices to them that is webbing that's webbing everybody to the sides of the buildings.
I've seen a couple of clips out there where I'm like, man, that guy's definitely dead. Like there's one hilarious one. There's one hilarious one where he does the thing where he sticks a guy to this like large rack of like concrete or whatever. And then there's the environmental interaction with R1 and O1, and he webs the thing that the guy is stuck to and then pulls it down on top of him. And I'm like, yo, that guy's surviving.
Dead. No, he's dead.
Being crushed by all that concrete.
Like, he left a family behind somewhere who's pondering the choices that he made.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The next one comes from Moises. He says, I thought John's handle was Mr. Negative with an N. How stupid am I?
Pretty stupid. stupid noises. Can you read? No, can you read? I get that all the time. I get that all the time.
Moises' favorite part of the game was the part where prisoners riot and take over the city instead of peacefully going to see their families that they were separated from, because Rikers fucking sucks and does that. So there you go.
Damn.
Mike Burgess says, what do you think of Pipe Dream, or Pipe Mania if you prefer, and why is it the worst video game minigame of all time? Thanks.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is either. I thought you guys might have known.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I might look this up. He says his favorite part of the game, though, was every seamless transition from cutscene to gameplay was perfect.
Okay.
Which I guess was another technical thing that I really liked. Yeah. I'm searching Pipe Dream right now.
Pipe Dream.
See, I got nothing. Apparently it's on Urban Dictionary. I'm gonna type in Pipe Dream.
Oh, careful, man. You don't know what's gonna
Pipe Dream Spider Man. All right, I got nothing.
Pipe Man.
Don't get the reference. I thought it was like a type of side mission or something, but sorry. Colin Sparling writes and he says, what did you think about the game introducing so many villains at once? Where do you think they'll take the story in the sequel? Which you've kind of already spoken about, but...
Yeah, I think we kind of already touched on that.
Yeah. He says his favorite part of the game is exploring the city and unlocking new suits.
Yes, the suits were definitely a thing for me.
The suits are awesome.
Homecoming suit all the way. Just felt wrong not to wear it.
That's what I was rocking the whole
time.
Nah, dude, no way.
Nah, it was the Spider-Man armor Mark II, the one that had like all yellow? No, he's talking about the one with
the green glowing spider. Like,
no, I'm not talking about that one either. I'm talking about the football padded one that looks like Deadpool.
That's the one I rocked.
I started rocking it halfway through the game once the city started to go to shit. And in my head, the rationale was like, shit is going down. Peter is putting on way more armor. He's armored up.
That's the suit that Spider Boys wear. Spider Men wear the homecoming suit.
Homecoming suit?
Or
I am the Spider Boy.
The Iron Spider suit.
I was rocking those two. I still haven't used the Iron Spider suit like ultimate move.
Great. The arms are great. They're overpowered as hell.
They're pretty rad.
I've been sticking to Web Blossom this whole time because it's so
same.
It's OP. Because
it's so overpowered. So
dude, legit.
So
I like for one crime mission where like it was like 10 dudes were jumping one guy for some reason, and so I just walk in the middle of them and use Web Blossom, and it was over immediately. I was like, man, that is
so ready. Top three suits right now. Blessing, go.
Spider-Man Homecoming, Punk Spider-Man.
You ruined it.
Really? You don't like, you guys don't like the Punk Spider-Man suit?
You ruined it. I don't fucks with that at all, man.
Nope.
And the third one is probably Iron Spider. I guess that comic book one is super dope too.
The comic one is good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Iron Spider.
My next, this is easy. Homecoming, Iron Man, and Big Time.
What's Big Time?
It's the stealth suit. The black with the glowing green.
Oh, nice.
Ah, okay, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mine is Scarlet Spider, the armored one, and Spider-Man, the white version, 2099 future suit.
You have the worst taste. God,
okay.
It's terrible.
For context, one of the first comics I ever read growing up from Spider-Man was the Scarlet Spider version, so I have a weird attachment to that one. And then the armored one because I like. Yeah, John is like furious with me right now. I'm so sorry. And I love the Flash, so I love weird metallic shit that makes you look like you're going fast. John, I'm sorry. Please be friends with me.
That
I'm so
suit,
sorry.
That suit looks like Marvel's or writers. Or their production team kidnapped a blind person, put a helmet on him, filled it with bees, and demanded that he design a Spider-Man suit.
You know what? Honestly, the 90s most fashion from that time, that is exactly how I would describe it.
Probably,
but
yeah.
If I had to switch out the Scarlet Spider, I would say Spider-Man Homecoming. That would definitely
there
be. If
go.
I had to take out that
there
one,
you
I would
go.
Say Spider-Man Homecoming
there you go.
For sure.
Yeah, now I know your heart is pure.
It's so slick.
Okay, thank you.
Also,
John.
I want to give a shout out to the... wait, is this the Scarlet Spider suit? That's different from like the hoodie... like the
that's the original Ben Reilly
Yep,
the spider clone
I love rocking the like the homecoming pre-Iron Man spider suit like hoodie.
So
I love that's like as soon as I beat the game that's what I was rocking and I was like this is perfect and our last question actually comes from Jack Cruz and he asks what was your favorite spider suit and so we kind of just
got him.
We're ahead of the curve
So can I ask you guys, we asked the question givers this question, but what was your favorite moment in the game? Bless.
That's really hard. Man, I know I have one. I think Spider Cop might have been my favorite moment. Like,
really? Okay.
Because like I went. The thing is, once they introduced the towers, I went and I just for the next hour, I just
that is exactly towers. What I did. I just unlocked yeah, all same. Of them. Yep.
And so like same. I got the whole Spider Cop thing all in one swoop, and the whole time just loved it. And it was the moment where I was like, yeah, this is the most. This is Spider-Man. Like they're doing it right. Like this feels right to the character. So that was it for me.
John.
I think my favorite moment in the entire game, if I had to pick one, there was, it's not a story moment. It's not a scripted moment. It was the time outside was, it was like, you know, dusk. So like, it was like evening, early evening. So the sun was setting and you know, you have that golden sky. And I was just swinging through, and I happened to pass, you know, the One World Trade Center. I was like, here we go. Ran up the side of the building. I just perched down there, and I was looking out over New York, and I thought to myself, this is fucking exactly what I would do if I was Spider-Man right now. I would just sit mm-hmm. up here every night and just fucking look. And I ended up staying there for just, like, 20 minutes, literally. I turned the lights off in my little room down here, and I just listened to the ambient sounds of the city and just and took in this... Took in the light, took in the sky, took in the view, and that to me, that was my favorite moment the entire game.
Hell awesome. Yeah, that is a good moment to have. Yep. And I guess my favorite moment, I have one gameplay moment, and then I have one story moment. The story moment I already said earlier when I was talking about when you find out that Harry this whole time has been dead mm-hmm. as MJ. That again, it hit me more surprisingly than any other moment besides maybe the Stan Lee cameo, which I told you about Blessing. So yeah, John, I want you to know, or I want to ask you if you had this way or if you interpreted it this way too. So he said, oh, I always loved you guys.
Yeah.
Well, in my head, that was like a triple meaning. Cause one was like, oh, the diner guy was talking about MJ and Peter. But then I thought he was also talking about Spider-Man and MJ, the characters.
Spider-Man was Stan Lee's favorite character.
Oh yeah.
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 But then I also had this weird moment where he was talking to us as the players. He's like, I always loved you guys. Thanks for playing the game. I was like, thanks, Stanley. I love you too,
my,
man.
My 10-year-old was watching me play it. And you'll love this. If you love Spider-Man Homecoming, whenever he's down here with me, he lives with his mother. But whenever he's down here with me, he calls himself the guy in the chair. And
awesome.
And so we were playing, I was playing Spider-Man. He was watching. And that Stan Lee came up and we both just looked at each other and just started laughing our asses off. It was just so spontaneous and great.
That's
amazing.
But then the favorite gameplay moment is, I was talking about this way earlier in the show, about how the best part about Spider-Man is that difficulty trying to go between the thing you want to do and then the thing that you have to do. And again, I was going to do some sort of backpack mission. I tried to grab the backpack. As I was going to grab the backpack, I heard that there was a car being stolen on like the radio. I jump off the buildings. I'm like, God damn it. I'll come back to this backpack later. And I start swinging and I go after the car. And I feel like this game made me feel like Spider-Man in that moment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, that thing I got to do, I can't do it right now. I have to go and save this car. And like that. And after the fact, I put the controller down. I was like, holy shit. Like that's... In that moment, I felt like
that was the quintessential Spider-Man moment. Yeah,
it really was. In that one moment, I was like, "Ah, oh, sorry, MJ, I gotta go." That's awesome. I was like dipped out, and no other game has made me feel like that.
I want to give a shout out to a side mission that I did. Like literally, this is the last thing I did while playing the game. I can't remember the exact name of it. You guys might know it. It's the side mission where there's essentially like. There's an internet thing going on. This person's trying to get like a bunch of views.
Oh,
Screwball.
Yeah, dude, I loved Screwball. Legit, like when I finished that, I was like, yeah, this game is on 10.
What an obscure little villain to throw in there too.
Is Screwball,
I thought you were gonna say after I saw villain? That I realized that OKBeast has got to start kidnapping people.
Yeah, exactly. Is Screwball an actual villain or was that
she
just
is a... yeah no Screwball's interesting. A real character. Yeah,
I had no idea. Yep. Yeah, this is like I legit thought it was just a random thing, and so when I ran into Screwball, I was like, this is so they're so in touch. Like even the Twitter feed they have in
the
game,
Twitter feed is great.
It's
yeah.
so accurate, and usually games mess that up. Usually, like fiction, usually it's trash. Like usually people try to imitate social media, and they just
it's just a bunch of LOLs and
it's just a bunch of emojis, and it's like oh hashtag this hashtag that. The social media feed in this game was so accurate and was so true to life that I was like, yo, these guys, whoever did this is for sure on Twitter. I need to follow them because they're probably
absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shout out to that. And also, shout out to John for joining us, joining me and Ian on this Spider-Man spoilercast.
Dude, this was a blast.
Thank you so much.
No, dude, I'm happy to. This was fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah, dude. I really appreciate it. I was like, as soon as I saw you tweeting about Spider-Man on Twitter, I was like, yeah, this is the one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we gotta have him on.
I'm always down for this, man.
Nice, man. Well, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. You can follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Why Not. You can follow John on Twitter at Mr. Megative. That's all spelt out, Mr. and Negative with an M, not an N. Right. M as in Spider-Man.
That's right.
I guess both those letters are in that
word. M as in Aunt May.
Exactly. There you go. Of course, this has been your bonus episode of the OKB's podcast. This isn't Patreon exclusive at all. This is on the main feed for all y'all to hear. And so, yeah, shout out to y'all for listening. And of course, if you want to listen to the regular OKB's podcast, we're on there every single Monday, Sunday for Patreon supporters, and yeah, all that good stuff. You know the deal. Alex Van Aken tells you it all the time. So if you really want to know, listen to another episode and hear Alex talk about it, because I don't have a doc in front of me. Until next week, we'll see you guys later.